tonight, open your Bibles to Matthew 6, Matthew 18, Ephesians chapters 4, and then there is another passage that we would like to look at in just a second, Luke chapter 17. Can you all remember those? Matthew 6, Matthew 18, Ephesians 4, and Luke chapter 17. I've got on top of my notes on forgiveness. Have you all noticed in the last couple of 3 weeks the commercials on television? Have you noticed that the healthy and the diet stuff and the healthy foods, have you all noticed that? We're being bombarded by it. Have you noticed the 100 and less calorie stuff? You know, when I was in my 30s and 40s, and even my 50s, even in my early 60s, I couldn't care less what it said on a can or a container. I had never read any of the specifics. And then it was here 4 or 5 years ago, about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, we ended up in our family. We had a biggest losers contest. And I began to read on all of the package stuff, what all was in it. And the only thing I was really interested, I'm a man. I'm not as detailed or interested in all of the fine print and the details. Or the only thing I watched was the calories. I didn't watch the salt and the fat and what all of the other artificial stuff is. I just simply paid attention to the calories. And so then we went on. We just, you know, we had a little contest with each other, and we decided that the winner every week we would put a little bit of money in a container, and then at the end of whatever was at 2.5 months or 3 months, that whoever would be the winner would get the pool that we had collected. And so I said right from the beginning, if I win, that money goes down to Mexico, to Arcelio Garcia. And then some of the kids said, that's not fair. He's got God on his side. Yeah, I know it. Long story short, guess who won the thing? You know, I can appreciate the fact, and I know some of you have probably thought since the first of the year or right before the year that you said, you know, I want to be healthy. I need to live a healthier life. But I want you to know that I'm not talking about the healthy being in good shape, but I'm talking about a facet of our lives that we can say that we want to be healthy and sound spiritually in good shape. And that we would say there is the joy of the Lord, that we are healthy. Now, the opposite from not being healthy is there is no joy, there is an unhealthiness, there is the depression, there is discouragement, there is no assurance, and we're miserable, and we can go on and on and on. And all of that, much of that is connected with what do we do with our sins? And what do we do with the sins of others? And that's important. Because I'm telling you, it is very important, and the reason I say that, a little while ago, we were singing that great hymn of the month we had a couple of 3 years ago. And then it says, no condemnation now I dread. Jesus and all in him is mine. Alive in him my living head and clothed in righteousness divine. Behold, I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. Now, that's a powerful statement. That's a healthy Christian that is able to testify of the fact of who and what he is in the Lord Jesus. And let me tell you what, the reason I'm speaking on that is this morning in our Sunday school class, we started this morning almost similar thing what you're all doing in the other adult class. And we're dealing with the fact of what are we doing with our sin. And we were talking about church discipline, and we were looking at the Lord's teaching in the Gospel of Matthew. We'll come to that in just a second. But what so prompted me to come to this passage is in particularly part of our lives, which is so important, and that's the prayer life. And so look with me tonight in the first passage that I said, Matthew chapter 6. Let's read that. It's been about 3 years, 4 years since we looked on through the Sermon on the Mount. But let's look at it tonight. And let's begin reading in verse 5. And of course, in that whole context, what the Lord Jesus is teaching here in the Sermon on the Mount, there's got to be a difference between the true believer and those, the hypocrites, as he calls them, that they were mainly concerned about the externals, how they would look in the eyes of people. And so he's saying to them, don't be like them. Verse 5. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as a hypocrite, for they love to be standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not vain repetition as the heathens do, for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth. Now I want you to look at this. Knoweth what things you have need of before you ask him. Then he says in verse 9, we commonly call this the Lord's Prayer. It's really the model prayer. He gives us the parts of a prayer that are vital and important. And then he says, after this manner, therefore pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then he says, he adds to that, and I think this is really important here when I look at this prayer, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. Now I want you to look at this. Now, how often do we pray this model prayer? We don't. There are some denominations, and I want you to know there is nothing wrong with praying that prayer. There are some times you may have no, you don't know what you ought to be praying for. And I just want to simply say, and Luther called it the kindling. He called the model prayer kindling. You all know what kindling is. And we still have a stove, and we still use kindling at our house. If you got good kindling, isn't that right, Terry? You're going to have a fire directly. And so Luther called that the model prayer kindling. But I want you to know the emphasis in this prayer. What is he emphasizing? The praise and worship of God. Holy is his name. He's praying for his kingdom. He's asking that his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Then he's asking for the fact, give us this day our daily bread. You think about that. And then in that, there is the request of forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. Now, when I think about that, and then I think about verses 14 and 15 when he says, for if we forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Now, I want you to know that here we have in this prayer, the Lord has given us important parts of the prayer and how we ought to pray. We worship the Lord. We worship our Heavenly Father. We ask that His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. He's making it very plain and clear. Lord, provide for us that which we need. And then He makes us aware of the fact that forgive us of our debt. Now, we don't just do that once. We don't just do it once or twice a year, but this is something that he's saying that you ought to carefully contemplate and consider. That I want you to know, I really believe that even the best that we do at times is flawed with all kinds of self, and that we recognize and realize that we still transgress, we still have sin, and that we're saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. But then you see, there is the other part that he's saying, and, And I want you to know I think there are two difficult things in the course of our lives that happens in our lives. One of them is, I think one of the things that is really difficult for man to say, I am wrong. Would you agree? To come to the place and to, we say, now, Lord, if I have wronged or if I have sinned in any way today, please forgive me for that. But let me tell you what is really difficult, you see, when you think about the fact that evaluate at times, I can only say that some of the attitudes that I display to my wife. Now, I want you to know I'm a pretty decent guy, generally. But I want you to know I have not arrived. There are some times where I'm short with her. There are some times that I get angry with her. There are some times I get upset with her. There are some times I display attitudes. She can probably tell you better than what some of the things. But there are times where it really comes, I'm aware of that. And then as I pray and as I pray, I ought to call it for what that is. That I say, Lord, forgive me of my trespasses. Lord, forgive me how I responded with my wife today. Do you know what I'm saying? Now, I want you to know, it's one thing to say, Lord, if I've wronged anyone and if I've sinned somehow, Lord, just forgive me for that. But it's another thing to say, I'm indebted here in this or that. Now, that's hard, isn't it? John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, let me tell you, I'm not sure which one is harder to say, Lord, I am sinful, and Lord, I have wronged. I am wrong, and you are right. Lord, will you forgive me? Or is it harder for us to come to the place to forgive others? What do you think? Which is easier? I believe they're both very difficult. This morning, the passage of Scripture that we looked at in Matthew chapter 18, look with me there, open that up. And in Matthew chapter 18 is this thing of, man, I'll tell you what, I'm so glad when we get to heaven. That's going to be one category and one facet of life. It's going to be gone. There is not going to be any more, Lord, I'm wrong and you're right. In other words, we're going to be righteous. Without spot and without wrinkle, ever going to be the wrong attitude displayed. There's not ever going to be the wrong thing said. There's not ever going to be any anger. There's not going to be any bitterness, any strife. There's not ever going to be any hatred. None of that. All of that's going to be gone. I'm looking forward to that. In the meantime, the Lord is teaching us, what do we do with sin in ourselves and others? I think that we're all ready to say, I'm ready to. I thank you, Lord, for forgiving me of my sins. I have tasted your mercies. And yet at the same time, we're confronted in the sins and in lives of other people. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15, we read this morning. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. In that very same discourse that the Lord Jesus is teaching, he's teaching us that there are times where brothers and sisters transgress and trespass against each other. What do we do with that? Well, let me tell you what the modern day church does. We play musical chairs. Honestly. That people will say, I'm sorry, but you know, this so-and-so said this about me, and they've done that for me and against me and on. Is that not right? Not only has the Lord instructed us, forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. But he's even telling us that we're to go to our brother who has sinned against us, and if he hears us, we have gained our brother. What do you think? You say amen. I want to see how easy is that. Anybody? In that very same chapter, I love Peter. Don't you all love Peter? In that very same chapter, verse 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? You see, Peter picked up on what the Lord Jesus was teaching. He said, what do you think? Seven times. I think we can probably muster that up seven times. Now, I don't know about you, but you see, think about the answer that the Lord Jesus gives. I've got this portion written down. Why don't we just read it together, and then we'll come back to it. And Jesus, verse 22, chapter 18, and Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Does anybody have a calculator? What is that? 490. Well, you know, I guess we could do that now since we got the iPhones. We can probably calculate it up. We can probably keep up with that. What do you think? Well, I think the Lord Jesus is simply, he's saying, I don't want you counting. And so then he says, therefore, he gives us this parable. Now I want you to listen to this parable, and then let's remember the song that we were singing just a little while ago. I want you to know that's all connected. And can it be? And I mean, we sing that, and we believe that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood, died he for me who cost his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? And I mean, I'm just, look at me. All my sins have been forgiven. Not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross. I beareth no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul. And then I say, Lord, how often do I forgive my brother? Listen to me. When I think about the model prayer, and when I look at the contents of the model prayer, and I, in the very same connection when he says, give us this day our daily bread, and then forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespassed against us, I want you to know there is a frequency about that. This is not just something that happens semi-annually. This is something that happens regularly as we live our lives with each other. And all you have to do is live in a home. Or my family is getting kind of small until it's Christmas time, and then they all come piling in. When we used to go to Arkansas, there used to be 75 people in that little frame house of Mamaw's. And they're piling in. And I mean, there's stuff all over the place. And before it's all said and done, there was something that happened that somebody said and something didn't do. And somebody looked at somebody and whatever. And somebody's got their feelings hurt. And somebody went home and said, did you see how so-and-so acted and all of that? Blah, 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 and on and on and on. But you know, that's the way it is in the church. And so the Lord gives us the parable. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. I think he was the finance minister. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children, and all that he had in payment to be made. You think about it. This man, he was so crooked. I mean, he was about to lose everything, family, all of it. What did the servant do? he fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me. I will pay thee all. Now I want to ask you, do you remember when the Holy Spirit came in conviction and showed you your sin? I want to tell you, I wish he would do that regularly on a continual basis to remind us what Christ has done for us. And to put the searchlight, I wish the Holy Spirit would take his searchlight and so in the crevices of my heart and show me areas that haven't been swept out or addressed in a long, long time. And then at the same time that he would show me the glory and the beauty of the fact that I can say, Lord, forgive me of my trespasses. What do you think? And then the Lord of that servant, he was moved with compassion, and he loosed him and forgave him the debt. What do you think? But the same servant went out and found the one of his fellow servants which owed him 100 pence, and he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat and said, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but he went out and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servant saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. And then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest thou not also have had compassion on the fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father, listen, we want to be spiritually healthy. I want you to know I have met in the course of my Christian experience, I have met some miserable Christians. They're unhappy about everything. Some of them are actually mean people. And then I wonder if there's perhaps a connection between what they display and the attitudes that they have. I want you to know there is no such thing that the joy of the Lord is their strength. There is no such thing as rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's simply just not. What is the Lord Jesus saying here? Now, I want to ask you something. Would you stop and evaluate, are there people in your life that you simply have not been willing to forgive their debt? And if that is the case, I want you to know, I believe that the words of the Lord Jesus says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if from your heart forgive not everyone his brother their trespass. I want you to know what part of that we do not understand. Parents, you need to teach your children that right early on. I want to tell you something. Feelings get hurt. Things are said. I mean, that's in the machinery of life. It is. I want you to know. And it's going to happen. You're going to hurt people. They're going to hurt you. And then yet at the same time, the Lord is saying, here's what I want you to do. I want you to learn. I want you to learn how to deal with sin. You deal with it in yourself. You try to keep a clean house in yourself. And in order for you to have a clean house, you make sure that those who have trespassed and sinned against you, that you forgive them their sin. And in that, that's clean house for you. Now, I want you to know that's hard, isn't it? I've taken this passage, and I said, the first thing is the question, what is how often? The Lord Jesus says, don't count. Quit counting. I've told you about that couple in Oklahoma City. They were married 60 plus years. And I got a phone call one day, and she said, "Pastor, would you come by, and I need to talk with you. Some of you have heard this before." And I said, "Yeah, I'll come by." And so I went and visited her, and married 60 years, 60 plus years, there in the middle 80s, and she said, "Pastor, we're getting a divorce. I want you to know," it just blew me away. It blew me away. And I said, "Why?" And let me tell you what this woman done. This woman, she went all the way to 1900, I'm not lying, 1945, when her husband was in the service, and events that happened, and she had it all recorded in her mind, in the 50s, and in the 60s, and in the 70s, and the 80s, and 90s, and on, this woman, I want you to know, she had a whole ledger of problems and transgressions, you see, of her husband. She had it all recorded, and she's never came to the place that she's learned how to deal with it in a biblical way. Can you imagine after 60 years? Can you imagine after 60 years? It blows me away. Now, you may be married 45 years or 40 years or 48 years or 49 years, and you may still having stuff hanging over your husband, over your wife. I want to say, get rid of it. Be done with it. Clean house. And clean house in this is that we recognize that, you see, the sins of others, when we think about it ourselves in comparison, is about a drop in a bucket. You can't compare it. This guy owed 10,000 talents. His fellow servant owed him 100 pence. I know some of your study Bibles will have it in the margin what that actually means, dollars and cents wise. But I want you to know, we're talking about a little thimbleful of pennies. And here is a bucket full of gold that he couldn't pay back in a lifetime. And the Lord, the King, was merciful to him. He forgave him all. And he loosed him from that debt. Can you imagine what that means? No condemnation now I dread. And all in him is mine, a life in him, my living head, and clothed in righteousness divine. What does that mean? I want you to know our debt has been canceled. We have been justified. We are clothed. You see, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus has been accredited to our account. We bear that no more. And I tell you what we need to be. We need to be a reflection of our Lord and Savior. We need to be Christ-like, that we would say, your debt is forgiven. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And so when you think about it, when he called us, you say, what is it that he's got in mind for us? Well, in that very same Sermon on the Mount, he says, you're the salt of the earth and you're the light of the world. And let me tell you what you see. Let me tell you what the world does. Let me tell you what the world does. The world will say, I'll forgive you. You know, okay, how many times is it? Okay. And then after three or four times, say, your history. Isn't that right? And then here you come along. And I mean, here we're talking about time and time again. Here you come along, and I want you to know that is not easy. It's only possible by the grace of God. You're not going to do it apart from the grace of God. You're not ever going to be able to forgive anybody unless you've experienced the mercy and grace that comes from God, period. So when you see people that they say they know the Lord Jesus, and yet at the same time there is such an anger and a hatred and a bitterness and strife and all of that. I mean, sometimes, and when you hear them talking about people, what these folks have done and what they've said and what they didn't do and on and on and on, and you want to say, wait a minute, time out. Something's missing here. The Lord had compassion and loosed him, forgave him. And then, when you look at verses 28 through 30, I just wrote simply over those verses, something's wrong with this. Something's wrong with this picture. I mean, what do you think? This was a public thing. People knew about it. The fellow servant fell down at his feet. Then verses 31, what kind of testimony did they leave? So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto the Lord all that was done. I want you to know that was a glaring thing. I want to simply say, parents, practice that at home. Husbands, learn to forgive your wives. And wives, learn to forgive your husbands. And parents, learn to forgive your children. Practice that. I mean, we can be the theologian par excellence. We can have the Calvin's Institutes memorized. We can be a walking Bible encyclopedia. We may be able to quote all of the confessions from A to Z. We may be the defenders of the faith. We may be that new vein, you see, that's for a new reformation that are used by, and all of that. At the same time, if we don't have that, I want you to know the testimony is this, is they have it up here, but it's not in here. Tom Smith used to call them tadpole Christians. You say, what is that? It's all head, no body. And I tell you what we want to have. We want to have body. Let's have head, but let's have body. And then the Lord, in that whole passage, he's saying that the testimony. And then the question the king asks, shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Now, those of you that are sitting up in the front, you all see that, what I've got printed in red? Well, you can see it. What does that say? The Lord was wroth, and I got it in bold, and delivered him to the tormentors. I want you to know, but being delivered to the tormentors is not healthy. I want to be able to walk down Walmart, and I don't care who comes against me. I don't care, you know, lots of people have said all kinds of ugly things about me. Some have been very wrong. Some people have sinned. And I mean, absolutely. But I want to be able to walk down every aisle at Walmart with an anticipation. I don't know who's going to come against me. That I can walk right up to it without any kind of bitterness and anger and hatred and an unforgiving spirit. What do you think? If that's not the case, then you see we need to say, Lord, I have taken your mercy and your forgiveness, but Lord, there is much that I need to learn when it comes to extending mercy and forgiveness to others. The next passage that I told you to look up was Ephesians chapter 4. And I want to just read beginning in the middle of chapter 4, and then I think you can see that it's all connected. He starts off in chapter 4, but you have not so learned Christ. I want to ask you, I think we can probably go around the room and we could all give testimonies how we came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you what it was for me. It was in the early 70s. It was one night after I have been listening to sound preaching. That it was one night I was in the bed and I was thinking about and reflecting of my life, and it was almost like a slide presentation, one thing after another. And I, in all of that, it was all of some of the events in the course of my life, they all kind of came home to me. The Holy Spirit convicted me and showed me my sinfulness. And I simply cried out, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. How did I learn Christ? I learned Christ forgiving. That's how I learned him. And I think every one of us, we can somewhere down the line, when we come to that place, how did it start with us? The Holy Spirit convicted us, showed us our guilt and sin. He drew us with bands of love to him. And ultimately, I want you to know, ultimately, what is it that brought us to a saving knowledge of Christ? Ultimately, what is it? I want you to know we need to make people aware of their plight. Make them aware of the terror of the Lord, and we desire to persuade men that they would come to Christ. But ultimately, let me tell you what draws people to a saving knowledge of Christ is the love of Christ. That here I am, guilty, filthy, rebellious, and I've learned Christ as the forgiving Savior. And he loves me. And then he continues in that passage. Look at it. If so be that you've heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the things which are good, that he may have to give him that is needed. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. I want you to look at the connection. You cannot get away from the fact. I mean, what is it that brings about anger? What brings about all of this, you see, the corrupt communication? What is it that brings about that? Is it not flesh responding when we're wronged? Is it not? Then he says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now I want you to look at verse 32. You ought to memorize it. And be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake had forgiven you. We need to do that. Let me tell you what we need to do. We need to clean our books. Let me tell you what's going to. If you know some people that you absolutely, when you think of them, you just tremble. There are some people you say, I don't want to see them. I don't care to hear their names. What do you think? And you've never really taken their name and you said, Lord, you have forgiven me of my trespasses. Lord, as you forgive their trespasses. I'm telling you, when you do that, that may not change the behavior of those that you're praying for, but I want to tell you what it does. It cleans your spiritual house. It does. And then the last passage, look at Luke chapter 17. Verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it's impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him that through whom they come. It were better for him that millstone were hanged about his neck and cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourself, if thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. If you trespass against thee 7 times a day, and 7 times a day turn again to thee, say, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Then I want you to look at verse 5. What an honest statement. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. I can recite these passages. I can go over these notes. I don't need these notes. I can go over this text. I know them in my heart. But yet translating them, that I can say, Lord, I believe that, but Lord, will you, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. And then, Lord, enable me to do that. Are there people in your life that you have absolutely, you've just simply said, I am not going to do that? I want to say you need to. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus. How can we expect our sins to be dealt with if we're unwilling to forgive the sins of others? We cannot expect that. But aren't you glad that the Lord gives us instructions how to deal with it? Ken, in the last 4 or 5 days, last week, being up there in the hospital, being confronted with people all around us. One thing is, I've been reminded of the fact, you cannot get away from the fact that sin, death and sin, they're Siamese twins. But I want you to know that the Lord has given us, and we're doing it, the Lord has given us the manual. What's the manual? If you're having problems with your car, engine light comes on. Beep, 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 beep. All of a sudden, it's running 70 miles an hour, and the next thing, you're going down the road, and 15 miles an hour. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, let me tell you, you take it to the shop. I mean, you may not get to the shop. My old cars are so old, I don't have any manuals with mine. But I know some of your cars, they have manuals, and then you say, you go to the engine light, it's blinking 3 times, and doing this, and it's only running 15 miles an hour. Or you look it up. So look it up. Gail, go ahead, look it up. I don't have my glasses. Look it up. So Gail says, uh-huh. It's got a hitch right here. It's in limp mode. Uh-huh. Well, we need to correct it. Blah, blah, blah. On, on, on. Let me tell what, when it comes to ourselves and in others, when it comes to the problem that we have in our lives, why don't we say, let's go to the manual. Let's go to the manufacturer's manual. And let's discover in the manual how we can correct that problem. How can we keep, let me tell you, we put more energy and effort in how to keep our iPhones and our computers, you see, from all kinds of bugs and viruses. We do all kinds of stuff that our stuff, all of that runs very good, but when it comes to the spiritual health in our lives, I don't know. Let's look and see what he says about sin. Why do we die? Well, sin. What do we do with it? Well, we flee to the Savior. We run to the Savior. We embrace him. We call on him. We ask him. And he helps us with it, how to deal with it. Oh, Lord, help us to do that. And when that's the case, I want you to know that we're going to be healthy. Thank you for disciples for saying to the Lord, increase our faith. I want you to know that's a whole lot easier to discuss than applied. May the Lord help us to do that. Let's pray.